Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on a Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. Wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Jackson Dart's mother returns to the television screen tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Smash.
Philadelphia to the Meadowlands tonight.
Hello, America.
Big day for Jackson Dart. His first national TV game. His mom's first national TV game.
Taking on them Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, who had a team meeting for what? What was it, two hours or something? The team meeting. What a waste of time. What a waste of time. They were just waiting for that loss so they could all explode and implode, man. I don't know which way Philadelphia is going to go. They're either going to take off or it's going to be an utter disaster, man.
Like, we've never had a two-hour meeting.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
Like, I think the first time we ever got together was at a Waffle House, and we left in an hour.
Yeah.
Because there was a bloodstained skirt outside in the parking lot, and I don't know what was going on, but I know we had to leave.
Yeah.
Or was it a scarf?
It was a scarf. Scarf.
It was a scarf, yeah. Not a skirt scarf.
Forgot about that.
Skirt scarf, you know. Tomato, tomato, but yeah, exactly. A two-hour meeting.
That's ridiculous.
These guys are together all the time. I mean, they really are. Literally, they get there at, like, now, and they're there all day. Like, mm-hmm. You have to have another two-hour meeting on top of that to figure things out. Winners win, losers meet. And so it's going to be very interesting to see where the mindset of that Philadelphia franchise is tonight. Long trip to New York for them. That 90-minute trip is going to be very difficult for them to make. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens on Thursday night. I hope Jackson Dart goes out there and plays well. I think Philadelphia wins the game, but man, I hope Jackson Dart goes out there and plays well and kind of shows you where he is. So when they hire Harbaugh next year for their coach, they'll be good.
They're not going to fire
John.
Literally went on a show this week with these people that love Baltimore, and they're like, I think Harbaugh's getting fired. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to Alex Gold. He does. He doesn't think so.
Not happening to
it's
him.
Not happening.
But it could be the same situation that Andy suffered in Philadelphia. It's just time. It's just time to move on. And you know, it's time to separate. Like, I'm always, who are you going to get? Who's going to be better? I don't know who the answer is. And Harbaugh's a good one, right? He'll be great with the Giants the next team that he goes to, because he will go to another team. I feel
first
like
coach it, hired.
Yeah, he'll be hired like Andy was in October of the year before. You know, like, I mean, this thing is starting to dissipate, as we know, in Baltimore. And you know, if it's not working out, you're not going to move on from Lamar. It's harder, I think, to find a quarterback than it is to find a coach. And so you're going to need a new change of voice. He's been there almost 20 years, and it happens to the best of them. I mean, nobody stays there. I mean, Tom Landry got fired in Dallas, for God's sakes. I mean, Don Shula eventually moved out. Belichick got fired. Like, these guys move on.
Mutual parting of ways with Belichick.
Well, I'm sorry. Are you talking about North Carolina? Is that the news from North Carolina?
That's New England. That's what he says with New England.
There was no mutual parting of ways. Hey, I'm the owner. I don't want you here anymore. All right, I'll leave. Okay, that's a mutual parting of ways. But no, I mean, I just think, you know, when you've been in a place that long, sometimes it's good for a change of scenery for everybody involved. The messaging gets stale. And so I would not be shocked if this thing continues to dissipate in Baltimore, if they do end up parting with Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh and he decides to move on to somewhere else. But he'll be hired the next day. I mean, he'll have a job immediately if he wants to. Now, some of these guys want to take some time off, but if he wants to, he'll be the first guy hired.
Yeah, as he should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if Philly loses tonight, the panic will really start. Because I didn't think, I mean, were you guys impressed with Denver?
No. I'm not impressed with anybody right now in the NFL.
I really was not. Impressive.
The what?
Fourth quarter was impressive.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they were good in the fourth quarter, absolutely.
Bo Nix was giving me vibes of, like, were we too early? And then the fourth quarter hit. I'm like, that's when you need it.
But also, Philadelphia didn't help matters for themselves in that game. They threw the ball every single down. They didn't run in the second half at all.
I just, Denver's interesting because their defense is insane. Benito's like your leader in sacks this year. He's he's getting a sack every game. Mm-hmm. And
he has more sacks than Chris Jones has tackles.
Well, Mac thinks tackles are an overrated stat.
For defensive linemen, we could talk about it. But, yeah, we can get into that. Yes.
What about standing there scratching your ass? Is that an overrated stat?
Absolutely. No, we can talk about that play specifically. I think there are two different conversations.
But there are multiple videos of Chris Jones on multiple plays scratching his ass in that Jacksonville game.
In that Jacksonville game specifically. Would agree. Yeah. There's right to have frustration. Yeah. You should be frustrated.
You can't take plays off.
I just don't think tackles is the way to judge
it. No, I know. It's not.
Yeah. Jalen Carter has three tackles. No one's having a referendum on his career.
Correct. But Chris Jones doesn't really have any sacks this year. Like, he's been a non-existent player. I mean, he's been a zero this year, right? He's been a 0%er this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's offered nothing to the party so far. Like, if you're going to have three or four tackles, I'm cool with that. I'm with you. It doesn't matter from that number standpoint. It is funny that Chase has more tackles than Chris Jones. Funny. Like, that's funny. Ha, ha, ha. Now, if Chris Jones had five sacks, I'm fine with that. You're getting to the quarterback. You're making plays. You're doing those type of things. Chris Jones has done nothing so far this year in five games that you can look at and go, okay, there he is. He's back. Chris Jones. What has Chris Jones offered to the party in the first five games of the year? The first game, he's well out of position. That ended up costing them, at the end there. The Jacksonville game, clearly out of position. He paid for a good ticket, I guess, and wanted to watch. And so, I mean, we've had two games where Chris Jones has been totally like, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
100% when you needed that guy to be there. Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah. I would just say that, like, I would judge it like I judge defensive backs, kind of like, teams run away from Chris Jones just like they don't pass towards Trent McDuffie,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So, like, we don't judge a cornerback based on the interceptions or passes defended he has, right? So I think it's the pressures and the pressure win rate. You know, he's still top five in those categories, top five in double teams as well. So,
but are you noticing him make a difference?
He is not the difference maker he was even last year, but especially 2 years ago. Right?
Yeah,
now. He needs to be a game wrecker at times. He has not done that. Well, I agree.
Maybe he doesn't have it anymore, guys. And I mean, it's okay to have that conversation. Age catches up with everybody. And Chris Jones for the last 2 years really hasn't been that good, right? I mean, like, he's been okay. He's made some plays. He's done some things. But you're one of the highest paid, highly thought of leaders on this team. I need more. That's where the expectation comes in, right? When you make a certain amount of money and you play a sport, we have higher expectations for you. We have higher expectations for the guy with the C on their chest. We have higher expectations for, the guys that have been around for a long time that have been veterans in this league. Like, you need to live up to where you are. And if you're not, then we have to talk about why. And if we're looking at Chris Jones right now, I think it is fair to talk about age. I mean, the guy was drafted almost 10 years ago, right? I mean, it's a long time to play in the NFL. It's, what, three times longer than the normal NFL average career that he's already put in plus, And so I look at Chris Jones and I'm like, yeah, he's not playing great. He was a great player for this team. And he may have to move into a spot where he's just a third down pass rusher at this point in time. Now, the problem is, can we get some of the younger guys to step up to be those guys on the defensive lines on first and second down to give Chris Jones that opportunity? Because if he's getting up there in age and doesn't have it anymore because he's older, I understand that. There's nothing to be mad about from that standpoint, but we have to start figuring out how to utilize maybe Chris Jones differently, and maybe because of where he is and what he's doing right now and the age starting to get in the way, maybe he's only a third down pass rusher at this point in his career. I don't know that answer. I'm just using that as a suggestion of, like, how do we maximize Chris Jones? Maybe he is just a third down pass rusher at this point in his career.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to 96.5 The Fan.
It's happened. How many times did
twice
that happen this week?
Yeah. Bob crushed Chris Jones twice this week, and both times the other side promotion was, wake up, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones.
This is Chris Jones. I mean, it was.
And you're listening to Bob Fesco rip my ass.
But I mean, but it's funny because people think like Nathan was doing it on purpose or
that's
whatever.
Just
like,
random.
Like, it's just random. The break end, and we go to break. Hi, this is Chris Jones. I couldn't have been timed any worse or whatever.
I think that.
But look, it's fair to have the conversation. It's not being negative towards
Chris
Jones.
So you want
them
to do to him what they're doing to Travis Kelce on the offensive side?
I think so. I think he's. I'm looking.
But that's
the thing. You can't because you don't have the people to do that. Right.
Where's Noah Graben? I mean, that's
No, on defense.
I know, I'm saying
about,
offense. You say we don't have anybody on defense to do it with Chris Jones. We were doing Travis. I don't know where Noah Graben.
Well,
been.
You can go into different formations. You've got all these wide receivers. You've got running backs. You can go. You don't need a tight end on the field. You go five wide. I mean, you could.
Still, where's Noah Graben?
No, it's a different conversation. Yeah, where the hell?
Did they give that guy like $14 million?
Maybe more. Yeah.
$18 million?
I think it was 18. Yeah.
The hell's he been this year? Yeah. Two catches or something like that?
Yeah, he's been non-existent. But I'm not worried about. You're not losing games because of Noah Graben.
No, I understand.
Of course not.
But offensively, but offensively, you can do different things. You can come up with different packages, different plays, different stuff like that that just doesn't include the tight end. Defensively, that's harder to do, you know, on your defensive line especially. But that's where you want, like maybe later in the season, right? This team starts winning games. All right, we're in the playoff, you know, situation. We're talking about seeding and all that kind of stuff. All right, we're late in the year. We're going to make the playoffs. Chris, hey, here's what we're going to do for, you know, the end of December and early January maybe, is that we're going to utilize you only on third downs because Norman Lott and you know, Gelati and all these other guys have gotten better. Like, we got two rookies, remember, on the defensive line. It's hard to play in the NFL right away, right? And so it takes time. It takes a couple of weeks. Sometimes it takes a year for some of these guys to really grasp what they're doing in this league. And so I think as the weeks go on, if we see improvement out of Norman Lear, out of Ashton Gelati, out of Jerry Tillery, maybe Derek Nottie decides to show up this year.
Well, and he's rated the worst defensive lineman in the league.
He stunk.
And they let Pinnell go for this guy.
Yeah, right. That's a bad move right there. I'll criticize Brett Veach on that one. You let Mike Pinnell go and you backfilled with Derek Nottie. That was a miss. That was an absolute miss, you know, on
Derek,
that one.
Derek Nottie there.
Derek Nottie going to play here much longer if he keeps, you know.
He's had about as much production as Josh Uche.
Yeah.
And yet he's doing something.
Great.
What the hell?
What's going on with the
D line?
Yeah, like,
yeah, man.
Seriously.
I don't know.
Who is the defensive line coach for this team? I mean, maybe that's the guy we need to start talking about. And like maybe that guy needs to do his job better.
To have an actual conversation about this team before we dive into the Detroit matchup and all that sort of hoopla, this is the one spot on this team that is atrocious. Like, the offensive line has gotten better.
It's really good right now.
Like, it's starting to gel and form. Yeah.
Love it.
Kingsley was great.
It's been 10 really good quarters.
Secondary, they're struggling because of the defensive line, in my opinion. I think when you have to cover some of the greatest athletes for 4 seconds, that's tough.
Yeah.
The safeties could get better. But again, like, what are you asking them to do? Like, stay out there on an island for four or five seconds?
Yeah, there
like,
you go. Tough. If we're not getting to the quarterback, we're not, you know.
The D-line's not there. Like, Carlotis is there.
He's doing well.
But they're skewed.
Yep. Yeah, right? Exactly. They're skewed. Like, those pressure numbers to me, I'm like, that seems inflated,
He's tied or he's right behind Aiden Hutchinson.
Tied with Aiden Hutchinson.
Who leads the league in pressures for a defensive end. And then it's George Karlaftis.
Yeah, but if you look, George is all over the place this year. He's working his ass off. Who's on the other side? Where's Charles Omenihu been?
He's at least had a sack in the last game, but yeah, he's been non-existent before.
I mean, did you see him on that last play when Chris Jones was watching? He probably saw this. Chris, did you see this where Charles got pancaked?
Because
yeah, he did.
He did. No, he got pancaked.
He did. No, and if he was up, it's that play is not just Chris Jones' fault. But seeing Chris Jones stand there, you're like, what the hell?
Because you know, honestly, for the first 3-4 weeks of the season, we were like, go get Breece Hall, go get Devon Achane, go get all this. Not anymore. We're not.
No.
Now it's like, go get Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
Go get Jeffrey Simmons. Go get somebody on a bad team for the defensive line. You need defensive line help. 100%.
Like, see why we let things play out before we make rash decisions in week one. Like everybody, No, we got. Let's let things play out. Let's see where we are. Breshard Smith has been a stud, man.
He's
like
burst.
That's a seventh round pick to put up on the wall again. I mean that's an unbelievable. That's a pelt on the wall for Brett on that one, right? Like, holy cow, Breshard Smith the last 2 weeks has been unbelievable. Like, I love what I see, and I love that we're seeing more. You know, each week it's seemingly now it's more and more and more. I hope we get a lot of Breshard Smith this week.
He's
great. I mean, he can catch the ball, he can run the ball, he's great on special teams. He would have been awesome. He would have been your special teams player of the week if Jack Cochran took the day off.
He's very similar to, I don't know if the pass protection will get there, but he's got a lot of McKinnon sort of
vibes. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he really does. Yeah, the pass protection. I was reading a story about, and this is where it's hard to play in the NFL, and even at the college level. I was reading a story yesterday about Derrick Henry's first couple of practices at Alabama when he was a freshman, right? And he goes, you know, after like practice number three, he goes, Nick Saban comes up to me, he's in my face, and he's screaming, you need to start blocking better, you need to do this. And Derrick Henry looked at him, coach, he goes, coach, I don't know what you're talking about. In high school, they just gave me the ball and told me to run. I didn't do anything else. And Nick Saban started laughing because he realizes, like, that's the jump from high school to college, and now we're asking these guys to go from college to the pros. And, oh, you were drafted, you're expected to be this stud. Well, Gelati and Lear are going to get better as time goes on. It takes time. I mean, that's Derrick Henry, one of the greatest running backs of all time, looking at Nick Saban and going, they just gave me the ball and ran, man. I didn't know anything else about football. They just told me to run. And so you got to learn these things. And I'm sure what these guys did in college, 6 months ago is nothing similar to what they're doing right now. And they're going to get better. They're going to improve. And then once they do, then you can give Chris Jones lesser plays because you've got these younger guys that are doing what they need to do on that line to give him the opportunity to do that. Take some plays off and stay stay fresh for when you really need them on third down to get to the quarterback.
I think you're right, though, that Dusty. That is the addition. That is where the addition is needed. It is the D-line.
Yeah, there's no other place to add anything except, like, if you're going to look at kicker, you know, I would be auditioning kickers. I'd be bringing in every kicker, just even if you're not going to sign them. But the message needs to be sent to Harry, like, we're not going to tolerate this anymore.
I think because help's on the way, the receiving core, which you don't necessarily – you don't need, but it's coming, right? Like, that's going to be there.
Wow, yeah. This offense put up 500 yards the other night.
Still lost. And because defensive line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Trevor Lawrence saw that thing open up, and he just took off. And, you know, that just adds so much weight when they can't create that sort of pressure or that sort of moment. And if you've ever needed a opportunity to show that you still got it, it's this week and it's this team.
Yep.
Like, this team and their offense, it's quick. They're going to go, they're going to run right through the gaps. Like, they are going to send David Montgomery right through that A gap every time he gets the ball, and they're going to send Jahmyr Gibbs outside. And that's how they run the ball. You know it's coming. It's like a pitcher that's dominated in baseball. Here comes my fastball. Can you hit it? I bet you can't. I'm going to throw it, and I guarantee it's going to be it. Like, Mariano Rivera for years threw a 93 mile an hour cutter inside on the hand and just wiped out the competition. You knew it was coming. It wasn't overpowering.
You couldn't do anything about it.
That's what Detroit's going to do. And if you give Jared Goff 4 seconds, I'm sorry, and I'm just going to say this, I am in fear of what Jameis Williams will do and what Amon-Ra St. Brown will do.
Yeah, you got to get to the quarterback.
Will eat you up.
Agreed.
It all starts up front, guys. It really does. It doesn't matter who your defensive backs are if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback. And you can't continue to send the house. You just can't all the time. Eventually, those top four guys are going to have to get home. I mean, it's simple. One-on-one matchups, go win them. Like, Aaron Donald would win those matchups all the time, right? Like, we've had conversations about Chris Jones being Hall of Famer, being Defensive Player of the Year, being one of the greats at his position. I know it's getting up there in age for Chris Jones, and the clock is ticking very fast on Chris Jones, but you're still out there. You're still playing. You still need to go out there and take care of business. I mean, we just can't have one of our leaders not doing what they need to do, because it's one thing to lose football games. It's one thing to lose football games when it's your leaders that aren't making the plays that need to be made, and the leaders need to start making plays on this team.
And maybe that's maybe that last game is a wake-up call.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it is.
I think there's a lot of similarities to that game that are, you know, maybe the Tennessee game when you got blown out, the Raiders game on Christmas Day. And I don't mean, like, the way the game went. I'm talking about the morale after. That game was, you know, you look at all the stats and everything, and you just take the teams away and the score, and you say, which team on this, well, who won this game? And 90% of the people would say the team right here, and that would be the Chiefs. You'd be like, they did not win that game.
Well,
they won the turnover battle. They won the yardage battle.
They dominated in penalties.
They won the time of possession. And then, yeah, you shot yourself in the foot. So this will be an interesting test. In Vegas, did you see the line?
It's 2.5 still.
Vegas has Detroit as 2.5-point underdogs.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, again, like...
Because we know you're picking Detroit this week.
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that.
Look, I've said it the last couple of days. This is not a quote-unquote must-win because we're not canceling this, but it is a desperate game. They need to play desperate. And I kind of like when the Chiefs have to play desperate. I think this has been a good week, you know, for them to hear all of this, right? Especially from a guy like me who's very positive usually about this football team, and there's not a lot of negative stuff to say. I feel like the parent in this situation. I'm calling you out now. It's time to start doing better things. And I'm talking about Chris Jones and Harrison Butker more than anything right now. Like, we can't lose games because of those two guys. But I think this is going to be a desperate week for these guys because they've heard all the negative connotations after that Monday night game. Losing the way that they did on national television, to me, was one of the better things I think that could have happened to this team, because everybody watched that thing go down. Everybody watched that team participate in that game, and everybody watched that team fail. Everybody was talking about it, right? And so they need to embrace that. They need to realize, okay, we're 2-3 at this point in time. It's not a must win, but we do need to play desperate. And every time that they've had that moment since Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have taken over this organization, they have figured it out. And that's why I'm still a huge believer in this team, because they have shown us all over these years that when the chips...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Down, they find a way to get back on top, and they find a way to win football games. And for me, until they tell me they're not by their actions and show me that they can't do it anymore, I'm still going to be convinced that they're going to figure out a way to do it, to do it and to get it done. There's too much talent. There's too much smarts. They're better than everybody else at the most important positions in all of sports. This team is going to figure it out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.